Well, this is the third Sunday now that our catechumens have been having what we call the scrutinies in preparation for their baptism. We have with us today five of our catechumens, young catechumens, who will be going through the scrutinies for the last time in preparation for their baptism, their coming baptism. We have five catechumens: Sophia, Charlotte, Ava, Will, and Chase. Are you all there? I think you're all there. Anyway, we're happy that you're here, and we're happy that you will be going through these scrutinies with us in preparation for your baptism, which will be coming soon, very soon. It's been a long time waiting for it and preparing for it. Now, I want to tell you a story about baptism. This is not directly connected with what we're doing, but since they're preparing for baptism, it's indirectly connected. And Dennis Lucia told me I should always tell a story, whether it's got anything to do with the rest of the homily or not. Anyway, here's a story about baptism. This is about a baptism that took place in our chapel about, must have been at least 7, maybe 8 years ago. I can't remember exactly, but at any rate, there was a little boy who was going to be baptized. He was 4 years old. Now, he had an older brother who was 2 years older than he was, 6 years old. Some of you probably heard this already. I tell it at every baptism I do. At any rate, when they came for the baptism and everybody was there, I didn't want to surprise the little four-year-old by anything that we would do, pouring water over him. I just hope he had been prepared for that. So I said to him, "Do you know what's going to happen to you today?" And before he had a chance to answer, his big brother, the six-year-old, said, "God is coming to him." I thought that was pretty good. God is coming to him. Then without missing a beat, the little four-year-old said, "But isn't God with me all the time?" Even better. I thought we had a budding theologian on our hands. Well, at any rate, the little six-year-old was correct, of course. God is with us all the time and has been with him, with his brother, his mother and father, and everyone else, all of us here in this church. God has always been with us. And, you know, it's a good thing for us to think about that, to think about that probably much more often than we do. God is with us all the time. Well, today we meet a dear friend of Jesus. His name is Lazarus. Lazarus. That's a name that means helpless. And this man is really helpless. He's dead in his tomb, and he's rotting away. And in that tomb, he is completely bound up, according to the burial custom of the times. He has cords around his arms and legs, two stones over his eyes, his mouth is gagged, there's a cloth around his head. He's lifeless in a tomb that has a stone in front of it and the smell of decay inside. Does Lazarus stand for all of us in some way? Is humankind, in this culture of death that we've heard about in the world we live in, is it a little bit like Lazarus? Helpless, sometimes frustrated, bound up maybe, smelly, decaying, blind, deaf, dead. Well, that's how Jesus found his friend, that helpless man, Lazarus, a man he loved so much. And when he stood in Lazarus' tomb, he wept. He wept bitterly. The people saw and said, "Look, see how he loved him." Jesus said, "Roll that stone away." But Lazarus' sisters said, "Don't roll that stone away. Leave things as they are. The smell would be unbearable." Are we ever like that? Do we ever say, "Leave things as they are. Let's not touch this or that issue. It might explode in our faces." Indeed, we even say, "Let's not open a can of worms." But Jesus was opening a tomb of worms. He said, "Roll that stone away." And then he called, "Lazarus, and he commanded, "Come out." And that dead man came out and started to live. What Jesus wants to do for us, for all humanity, what he did for that dead man. He wants us to live, and he gives us the gift of life. And at least one of the, and that's at least one of the lessons that we have today. He also gives us hope, as we hear in his conversation with Martha, where he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, in spite of death, will live. And whoever, and everyone who believes in me will never die." When Lazarus comes forth at the command of Jesus, he is bound. And Jesus says to the people, "Unbind him and let him go free." Jesus wants to do for all of us, for the whole world, what he did for Lazarus. Jesus wants to give us life. We're all Lazarus, and Jesus wants us to live. He wants to set us free to live the new life that he has already given. To live it with joy and with enthusiasm, knowing that we have been called by God to something splendid that we have not perhaps even dreamed of. What I'd like to ask you young catechumens today is this. Well, you know, here we're talking about Jesus saying he wants us to live, he wants us to have life, he wants us to be free. What does that mean to you? Well, let me suggest something. Think something along these lines. What is the most important thing, the greatest thing that you have ever wanted in your life? The rest of you can think about this too. What is it that will make you a much happier person, perhaps, than you are right now? And that's the new life that Jesus wants to give you. Remember, Jesus loves you very, very much. But he asks you, as he asks all of us, to love him back, to love him back. And the only way we can do that is by accepting the life he gives us and loving one another. That's the basic thing. And that's what you think about today during the scrutinies as you prepare for your baptism. So let's all of us step out of the tomb. Let's take the bonds from our arms and legs. Let's remove the stones from our eyes. Let's take the cotton out of our ears and our mouth and live. Let's live. Let's live with him and with one another.